Amongst most Bassarine, it was a polite superstition that the shine of gold drew vengeful spirits. No one really believed it, least of all the voices and the keeper. But it was considered something of a faux pas to show off too much of any precious metal, lest you call the attention of angry ghosts. To see an entire city, even from the edge of the ship, shining brilliantly, was disorienting at the very least. Then again, the place was flooded with horrors, so perhaps there was something to the old superstition. Constructed mostly of bronze, supposedly mimicking a location in a realm of pure fire, the ornate towers and glittering roads were beautiful, almost magical in their own right. The fact that they were spotless only added to their impressive nature. If you knew nothing of the place's history, you could be forgiven for assuming the residents had all just stepped inside for a moment. As so many perfect ruins were, the truth was anything but beautiful. A casualty of that last war was well known as dangerous by day and utterly lethal after dark. If you were still inside as the sun set, you weren't coming back. Just what was in there was unclear. Some variant of hungry dead that consumed flesh. But they seemed to avoid the light. Enough expeditions had gone in to know there were ghosts and specters of the once residents, crying forever of their agonizing deaths. Why the place had been built was less clear, an ancient monument to something, a place where the djinn and Afridi, the other elemental kin, congregated. As far as anyone who had gone in could tell her, it seemed to be in honor of an ancient event, a place of curiosity and wondrous items, mostly picked over at this point, that burned your feet but astounded your eyes. A place to be avoided, in other words. It held a lesson in her mind, a warning of what could always be. Never assume anywhere was safe, especially not when you were at war. Better yet, don't be at war. Weird how training in combat convinced you of the wisdom of avoiding such conflict. There was some pride in that, her people having deflected attention for so long. But that obfuscation had a cost, and she was paying that now. There was also a personal lesson for her over there. This was a place her people knew well, having delved into it regularly after visiting with the automata, seeking trade goods or powerful relics. She had warnings, foresight, knowledge. She knew not to step in there lightly and what to expect. She had no such insight where she was going. Caravaneers rarely went into the Blue Giant's lands, even with what few remained, instead seeking to remove the unclean objects from their territory. What had once been a grand trade was drying up, with the Othersiders blocking the way. A few still managed it, plenty traded with the lizard tribes of the mountains. Once, brave souls would occasionally venture into the boundaries of the City of the Dead, but that had been rare, and usually stupid. When that city fell, the last reason to head north had left as well. Sure, the occasional Bassarine ship tried to sail over the northern edge of Lyrstra, but the ice alone made it risky. What lurked in the waters was even more frightening, with some ships never returning. Enough came back to confirm that there didn't seem to be much up there. Most concluded there was no point in seeking it. Perhaps as more ruins were emptied on Kelmira, they would start heading this way, but it wasn't worth the risk yet. Once she passed the City of the Dead, she and Wuro would be on their own. A sobering thought. Though it was why she specifically was here, that lack of kin was ominous. It was easy to get used to Basuri being only a week away, or just a ship back. There would be no backup here. Beautiful, isn't it? She glanced over at Hosk, eyeing him with what she hoped wasn't overt suspicion. Shiny, at least. A sign of hubris. He seemed surprised at that, raising an eyebrow. Huh, you know it's history. Enough. We've been at this longer than your enterprise has existed. She wasn't sure that was strictly true, but they definitely had been delving longer than the MMM. Besides, it sounded good, and it seemed to mollify the man. He half-smirked, and for a brief, brief moment, she worried he was about to start flirting. Thankfully for both their sakes, he sighed instead, and pulled up a short, thick blade in a plain sheath. Yeah, I suppose you have. Shows. Thanks again. Unsure where the blade was headed and what he intended, she made sure she could see his hands from the corner of her eye. She looked back out over the waves. One more sight of a failure in history. One more new danger. Another reminder of how foolish the Othersiders were. There are ruins. And then there are ruins. The real ones, the big ones, they eat the reckless fast. Look, I know. I get it. That was stupid of us. Well, Minthrian, at least. But we've been in real ruins like th— Her laughter cut him off, and he gave her a look of both annoyance and confusion. She shook her head and let her bitter smile show. Horror Rock? You know what that was? He shrugged. Sudden discomfort where this was headed, clear in the slump of his shoulders. Big. Real. Horror Rock's barely a step above a training ground. Place to prove you can go on a real delve. I first went through when I was 13. I thought it would prove I had what it took to join an order. No, Othersider. That was no real ruin. It was a playground compared to what else waits out there. He seemed startled, though more by her sudden verbosity and demeanor than the actual words. She imagined that was a little pedantic. He must know there were greater horrors out there. But still, to think Horror Rock mattered. Well, either way, you kept me alive. Kept me employed despite some poor decisions by my team. Here. First knife I ever forged. And it's one of those things you carry around, but seems right to give away at the right time. You know? She didn't, but she nodded anyway, her face smoothing over. She had never been one for sentimental trinkets. As he offered it to her, she smiled briefly, but he was gone almost as soon as it hit her hand. Whether she had unnerved him with her words, or it was simply the memories of Horror Rock welling up, he was clearly still shaken. Perhaps he simply felt he owed her, and was hoping this would make that go away. Sighing, she looked down at the simple blade. What the hells was she going to do with an extra knife? This has been Splendor and Regret of the Fatal Neutrinos in the Kelmira Saga. Thank you for listening. I hope your day is better and hopefully a bit more surreal for it. This is Easton. Remember, I'm as much a work of fiction as anything you hear.